To the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
So we are here again today at the convention of the National Religious Broadcasters, where we are meeting a lot of friends, making new friends, new acquaintances, and meeting a lot of people that are here from Israel and from the Israeli government. So today we have a special guest with us, Anat Sultan Dadon. She is the Consul General for the State of Israel based in Atlanta. So Anat, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I would love for you to just give a little bit of your background and let our listeners know about your family, your background, and how you got into the Foreign Service first.
Okay, well, I joined the Israeli Foreign Service about 20 years ago. And I've had the privilege of serving Israel in five different hostings countries. I've been in Atlanta for the past 4 years, representing Israel to seven southeastern states. And it has been an incredible privilege. My background, I think that I and my family are the story of what the realization of Zionism is about. My father's family immigrated to Israel from Egypt. My mother's family immigrated to Israel from Iran. My husband's family immigrated to Israel from Morocco. And our daughters were born in Jerusalem. And I think that is the story of what Israel is about.
Yes, it's beautiful. So you're fluent in Arabic?
Unfortunately, not.
No. Well, your English is really perfect, so it's nice to have you here. Anat, tell us just a little bit, you know, as a diplomat for Israel since October the 7th, the horrific terrorist attack and the beginning of the war, how has that changed your outreach here in America? How have you found people responding to you as a diplomat and representative of Israel?
I think that as an Israeli, whether we are in Israel or abroad, we are hurting since October 7th, and our hearts are still bleeding, not only with the incredible losses that we've endured and the soldiers that we are losing in this war, but also because of the fact that we still have hostages still being held captive in Gaza. And I think that we will not be able to begin truly healing until they are all home. Here in the United States, overall, I would say that we are blessed to be in a region that is very supportive of Israel. We have many friends, many supporters here. But we are also not oblivious, and we should not be oblivious to the other voices out there. On October 8th, when we had not yet finished counting our dead, we already had a demonstration outside of our consulate in Atlanta praising the resistance fighters.
Can you believe it?
Glorifying the most horrific massacre against Jews that was committed in a single day since the Holocaust. And so there are other voices out there. We know that they are the minority. We know they are not the majority. But I think that we all need to hear more from the majority so that these voices of hate do not receive center stage.
Yes, and absolutely right. You know, I find it shocking as an American that we would have protests out in the streets in favor of a terrorist organization and a terrorist attack. It's just shocking. I can't wrap my mind around it and how they can be so brazen in support of something so terrible as what happened on October the 7th. So tell us, you know, our listening audience is largely evangelical Christian here in America, and we want to know, how can we help? So I want to ask specifically about the hostages. I mean, we feel helpless. What can we do? We pray. We want the hostages released. We're praying that they be released. But is there something we can do at the grassroots level to help bring pressure? And where does the pressure need to be?
Well, I think worldwide, really what we need to be seeing is calls everywhere demanding the immediate and unconditional release of the hostages. And I do think that every voice matters. Some of us have platforms. Use those platforms. Even if you're talking about something entirely different, dedicate a moment to talk about the hostages, to talk about the fact that they must be released. It's not a political issue. It's a basic human issue. And I think that it does matter because one voice adds to another voice, and we need to hear much more of a demand, not just coming from Israel, but around the world, demanding the release of the hostages.
Yes, it's a humanitarian issue. This is not a political issue. This is let the hostages go. And I can't imagine what it's been like for them. How many days has it been now? 130?
We are now day 139. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that they are not counting time even by the days. They are counting time by the minutes and by the hours that are going by. We know from hostages that have been released from captivity, we know that the hostages in captivity, the women hostages, are undergoing rape on a regular basis. We know that others are being tortured. We know that we have a one-year-old baby in captivity. This must stop. Yes. They all need to be returned home.
Yes, and if our churches would speak up and just the grassroots call their congressmen and say, do whatever you can, you know, to get these hostages released. And then, of course, we're here at the NRB, which is a gathering of Christian communicators and broadcasters. And one of the shocking thing for me is to see the media, how that they are the secular media, the mainstream media, is not really portraying this right. And Israel is often portrayed as the aggressor here and actually being accused of genocide when you're trying to defend your people against genocide. What is your message here to the Christian communicators and broadcasters?
Well, I think that just like we spoke about the necessity of using one's voice in calling for the hostages to be released, I think that here too, we need everyone's voice to call out the hypocrisy, to call out the fact that the only two sides to this are the side that is standing with humanity for life and freedom, and the side that is standing for terror, and the side that is glorifying death. There is no other side to be on. And the right side of history is standing for humanity and standing with Israel as we fight terror, as we fight those who not only threaten Israel's existence, who not only threaten the Jewish people, they threaten everything that we hold dear in the free world, because we sanctify life while they glorify death.
Yes. Well, how much do you think that anti-Semitism plays in this? You know, I think like the protest, and you said you had a protest right outside your own consulate. How much are they actually in favor of Hamas, and how much are they just actually anti-Israel and anti-Semitic?
Well, I think all of these protests, they call themselves pro-Palestinian. There is nothing pro-Palestinian about them. If anything, they are pro-terror, they are pro-murder, they are pro-rape, because were they truly pro-Palestinian, then they would get in line with us in defeating Hamas and freeing Gaza from Hamas, because the Palestinian people deserve better than a regime that oppresses them and uses them as human shields and sees the casualties of their own people as something that serves them in their twisted and thwarted agenda of bashing Israel.
Absolutely. Well, with anti-Semitism, you know, we're all very aware that it is increasing, even in America. You know, I think one day I'm going to wake up and not even recognize my own country, these trends. But have you personally encountered increasing anti-Semitism as you go about your work and your life?
we are witnessing anti-Semitism and an incredibly concerning surge in expressions of anti-Semitism globally in the United States. We're seeing it in our region as well on a daily basis. We are seeing students that are being bullied, that are being harassed, that are being attacked on university and college campuses, but even in elementary schools, in middle schools, in high schools. This is of incredible concern to us, to the Jewish community, but it must be the broader community that is concerned and that is acting in order to combat this evil. Yes. We know where this leads to. We know the price of anti-Semitism, and none of us can afford to be silent when we are witnessing these demonstrations of the age-old hatred against the Jewish people.
Yes, and we organized a letter, speaking about students, in October, November. We sent a letter to 300 universities, signed by over 100 Christian leaders from 100 different organizations, calling on these secular state colleges and the Ivy League campuses. We said, please adopt the IRA definition of anti-Semitism and enforce it on your campus and provide greater security for your Jewish students. And we felt it was important as the Christian community to help raise that issue and bring pressure on the schools that this is not just a Jewish issue. And we know that anti-Semitism is just the first step in a decaying society, and many, many others will suffer from hatred if we let it grow. So we took that stand, and we have also developed educational materials on anti-Semitism to take into Christian campuses to educate Christians, because honestly, a lot of them are not aware and they don't know how to recognize anti-Semitism, even when they may see it or hear it and on social media. So we want them to understand what it is, recognize it, and how to stand up to it, combat it. So we are hoping that this year we're going to be able to do a whole outreach to every Christian university in America to let them know these educational materials are available to them. We actually gave the little booklet on anti-Semitism to every person here at the convention this year in their registration bag. So we are standing with you and for you. We are doing what we can to stand against this evil hatred on behalf of you, your people, and your country. And so we just want you to know we're praying for you. We're standing with you, doing what we can. And we just bless you and thank you for coming and being with us today.
Thank you for standing for Israel, for standing for the Jewish people, and for standing for what we all hold dear.
That's right. It's the right thing to do.
That's absolutely right.
Thank you. Thank you, Anat.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.